everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Two Tacos High, a handbell podcast. I am Nick Hansen.
And I'm Brian Seaman. Two Tacos High, we talk about all things handbells, current and upcoming handbell happenings, interviews, guests, other surprises. Today's episode is another listener request, so please keep sending those to us. Mm-hmm. We had a request to talk about traveling and touring with handbells. So to talk about that today, we've invited two guests on, Tessica Houston, who is the equipment manager for Sonos Handbell Ensemble, and Genevieve G.B. Hansen is actually sitting in front of the mics this week. She is the assistant to the director of music at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church in Annandale, Virginia. Welcome, Tess and G.B.
Hi.
Hello.
We're so glad you both are here, especially to provide such unique expertise in your various roles in community handbell ensemble and church handbell ensemble. So before we dive deeper into that, if you could both just give some general background, specifically handbell background, and then a bit of structure of what you do in your role at St. Matthew's or at Sonos.
I'll go first. This is Tessica, and my handbell background, I started playing handbells in 1995 when I was doing my student teaching and just fell in love with it. And here I am today playing handbells like crazy. Do have a degree in music education. I direct a couple of groups and then play obviously with Sonos as well as a few other community groups in the area. And I've been the equipment director for Sonos, probably about almost 10 years now. Took it over from Michelle Sherrick. And my basic job is to keep track of the equipment and know where it is, keep it in working condition, and make the arrangements when we do tour of how the different things are going to get where we need them to go.
Awesome. And GP?
I have had this job as the assistant to the director of music at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church for about 6 years now. And the handbell program there is very big. It's been in existence for about 50 years, starting with Nancy Cappell. But most of the time, I do a lot of the handbell setups for our various concerts and events when we go out to retirement centers and other concert venues that we've been asked to play at.
So we definitely wanted to talk about touring and transporting and traveling with handbells. And I'm glad that we have both a representative from community ensemble and church ensemble, because I know definitely from experience touring with Sonos, Sonos has a really finely tuned way of touring with our equipment, but it involves some like custom made cases and things like that, that not everybody obviously has access to. So I'm glad to hear both perspectives from the two of you.
So I'm wondering which one we dive into first. I would think for the vast majority of our listening audience, they would fall probably under the church or not as extensive equipment. Although at the same time, you do have a lot of equipment at St. Matthew's. So I'm thinking like, GB, if you could give a bit of, even if you want to use like this coming up tour as an example, what's involved in kind of the pre-planning and getting things ready for the trip?
So every year, our two youth groups go on a tour, usually in June, but in this year, it's going to be in July. And our two youth groups are made up from grades 7 up through high school, with the younger group being 7th and 8th graders this year. And our older high school group, 9th through 12th grade, which is carol ringers. We have celebration ringers and carol ringers. For pre-touring right now, well, luckily, one of the mothers of one of our students, one of our youth, is actually a travel agent. So we actually asked her to help us get plane tickets and the hotels that we're going to stay. We're going up to Hartford, Connecticut this year.
To National Seminar.
So we will have our concert on Thursday.
I think so. I think ours is Wednesday.
Ours is Wednesday. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, come watch us. But we have the mother, who's the travel agent, plan all our itinerary for the plane trips and the hotel room stays. And it was really helpful because we didn't have to try to figure out to like go to hotels.com or see what other hotels were in the area for basically two youth groups mm-hmm. to go up.
Because you also, I know from years past, have had to set up like buses and that whole thing if you're not doing a flight, right?
Mm-hmm. So we have done the bus before, and we usually try to have a bus reserved many months before, because as we get closer, we've noticed that the price just gets really, really high. And I think it's also based on the fuel the cost of fuel at that point. Sure. So if you book it 6 months back, whatever cost of fuel it is then,
at that point, locks in.
It locks in.
Does the church cover those costs, or do the families, how does the money work out?
The money. That's kind of a tricky. We do have a budget, mm-hmm. and we do have fundraisers at the church to help raise money for our trips. But there is a part where the kids, the parents, will have to pay for the tour. The percentages, I'm not too sure. I don't do the cost part. That is the director who figures out the costs.
You've got enough on your plate.
You just have to figure out how to get the people yes. and the equipment there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm more of the logistics part.
Mm-hmm. So, Tess, I presume there's certainly a lot of parallels, I bet, between St. Matthew's and Sonos. Obviously, you're not working with kids and that side of thing. But how does Sonos prep for your trips?
Actually, very similarly, although again, like GB said, I'm pretty much in the logistics equipment part of it. But I do know if we're traveling really out of the area, we usually have transportation. We figure that out. Kind of a combination of doing it ourselves and doing, and the people who host us or are hiring us to come in, setting some stuff up. We've had a couple of different situations, a couple of places they hired us to come in and they set up a hotel for us, and it was all, you know, sent them our information, but they took care of all of that. And then we set up our own plane flights around our own schedules and things like that. We've also done some driving tours. Same thing. We get where we're going in the vehicles and they've set everything else up for us. Unlike a church group, we also have an agent. So our agent will sometimes set up our gigs and then he ends up doing a lot of that logistics of setting up the hotel and plane flights if he's working on those.
Before we dive into more equipment details, I was actually curious from both of you, and Tess, you can start this one first. I think you'll win the mileage. What's been your shortest tour distance and what's been your longest tour distance from home base?
Well, shortest would be playing in the church that houses us.
Excellent.
Which has been different churches over the years, but you know, obviously that's easy. Longest, that's actually a toss up because of course Sonos has been to Japan. I think the total's 8 times. I've only been 5. But then we also did our tour that went to Estonia and Finland.
Wow.
So without actually pulling out a map to look at mileage, I don't know which one of those was longer.
I could Google that right now, but yeah. I don't want to.
Yeah, it's okay.
Do you know the answer from your perspective? I know you haven't been there for the whole 50 years, obviously.
No, I don't. Obviously, for the 50 years, they have toured to a lot of places. I don't know all the places that they've toured, but I know that they've toured out to California. Mm-hmm. That might be the longest. I don't know if they've ever done, I don't think they've ever done any international tours or sort of flights. So I think California would be their furthest. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you listen to this, Tammy or Nancy. Just let me know and I'll write it. I'll comment it saying.
Send us an email. We'll give the information at the end of the episode.
But for me personally, I've only been there for about 6 years. And I'm trying to think. I've only bused with them. I haven't taken a flight with them. So it's actually not very far. I think Hartford would probably be my longest with St. Matthew's.
Mm-hmm. So let's dive into the equipment side of things.
Yeah. So I want to start with St. Matthew's, and you talked a little bit about all of the equipment you have. How is that cased and stored, and how do you transport that?
So officially, this is what St. Matthew's has at the church. We have one full 7-octave of bells. We have another full set of 5 octaves. We have a 3-octave set of bells and a 1-octave set of bells. So essentially 4 sets, just different size of octaves. We also have 6.5 octaves of chimes, as well as 3 octaves of chimes.
Does it all go on tour or just the main larger set?
Typically, the full 7-octave and the full 5 octaves will go. We will also occasionally take our 3-octave sets if we have need for either duplicates or double positions.
And is all of that in what kind of casing and things are all of those in?
For our 7-octave cases, we only have 5 octaves that are portable. I know this is very complicated. There's just a lot of things. It's our 2s that do not have a portable case, but the rest of our 5 octaves from the 7 octaves are in portable cases. The other full 5-octave cases are not portables. They're just in the plain regular Schulmerich bell cases. So it's a lot to lug around still.
These are the older cases, quote unquote, not the current wheeled ones, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the traditional style.
This is the traditional, the wood, the splinters, the, yes.
Yeah.
The red inside.
The red inside.
Yeah.
And then for Sonos, what kind of equipment and how is that all cased?
So we have 6 octaves of bells, and that is all in wheeled cases. The lower 6th octave are in portable bell cases. The rest of them are in the ultimate bell cases that were being sold for a while and I think might still be available, but not positive. And then we have 7 octaves of chimes. And this is where things get interesting for Sonos. 4 of those octaves are all, we took the insides of the case out with the little grooves where you stick the chimes and repackaged it into a big suitcase with foam in between them. So they're just in a big old suitcase. And then that's the 3 octaves. And then the 4th octave bass chimes and little chimes are in what we call cozies. They're like little sleeping bags for the chimes that a former member has made for us. And those sit around the side. So that 4 octaves of chimes goes in one suitcase together, weighs about 60 pounds. And then the 5th, 6th, and 7th octave bass chimes are also, we take them out of the cases and they live in little cozies. And a bunch of them live in a hard-sided travel golf case. And then the really big ones, when we do travel with them and have to fly, we got adjustable flight ski cases. And so we, again, put them in the cozies and then put some extra padding around them and put them in a flight ski case so they can be checked on the plane.
Yeah. So Sonos does a lot of flight travel. And so everything that we have and the way it's all cased and packaged is designed to pretty much get the least number of cases possible. Right. And when you tour with Sonos, you basically, you put your clothes and things in a carry-on and then your check bag is a bell case of some sort.
Mm. Yeah.
Or the chime case or whatever.
Yeah. Because say the other thing is several other suitcases that are full of the individual percussion instruments, things like that. If we need duplicate bells, those have traditionally been borrowed by some of us, you know, whoever has them. Currently as equipment manager, my bells tend to get borrowed the most. I have portable cases for my bells. So a lot of times one of my personal cases goes along with bells in it. And then the foam, we have a vacuum cleaner and we suck the foam down and put it into two big duffel bag looking like things. And those get checked as pieces of luggage as well.
How much foam is that? How many feet of foam?
We have... Oh, gosh, I have to do math. Well, we have the...
Whilst Tess is doing this math, if you've ever seen Sonos, we have our main set of tables that we play on, but then there's also pretty much a second set of tables behind us where all of the duplicate sets of bells, the chimes, the mallets, the percussion, the anything else, auxiliary things that we use are all stored on tables behind the main set of tables. So it's almost like two sets of tables worth of foam.
I think we have about 76 feet of foam.
Yeah, that would equate about two ranges. Yep.
That's a lot of foam.
Yeah.
And that all gets sucked down into.
And we use tape and trash bags. I wish there was a little bit more ecological way, but like we've tried those, you know, store your sweaters under the bed, suck out the air things, but they don't last. And for the amount of money you're spending, just trash bags and tape and the vacuum cleaner. We have the little Oric vacuum cleaner. Funny story, one tour, because we're trying to take as few things as we possibly could. It usually gets packed into one of our suitcases, but a tour we did to Florida, it was like the only thing that wouldn't fit. And we were only going to be gone for, it was a real quick tour, a couple of days. I was like, I can stick that in my carry-on. So I had the Oric in my carry-on and when we were coming back from Florida and it's going through the x-ray machine. The lady was like, wait a minute, is this your suitcase? I'm like, yes, that's my suitcase. She goes, what in the world is that? I'm like, oh, it's a vacuum cleaner. And she's like, what? It's a vacuum cleaner. What we didn't say out loud, you know, jokingly, and didn't say it anywhere in the airport was, yeah, we're going to suck all the air out of the plane.
With that much pads, again, how many duffel bags you fit it into?
They're not standard duffel bags. A person who used to be equipment manager a long time ago, Lois Kale, made them. She did the measurements herself, but we get two big bags that are, I call them duffel bags, but honestly, you could probably barely put your arms around them once they're full and hug.
I'm sure. Just,
if you put like full size unsucked foam in, you'd get about 4 pieces of full size unsucked foam.
Got it.
And then when we arrive at the destination, then getting out the knife and opening up and having all the foam go. And as I say,
I guess that's another thing. You don't, when they're searching it at the airport and they ask you what's in there, because, you know, they always do. And you're like, don't say it's sucked down foam. Don't open it. It will explode. That's not a good thing.
No,
We have to remember to say, don't open it. It will expand. Please don't open that. It will expand.
Please don't.
No exploding.
And I will say that Sonos has done this with their foam enough that Sonos' foam is very flexible and pliable. Even it doesn't. Yeah, very pliable. Yeah. If you do this with a brand new piece of foam, it does not work so well.
It doesn't. Well, and we also play on 3-inch foam as opposed to 4-inch. And that part of that is because it can be folded down and then sucked down so much easier.
What does St. Matthew's do with pads?
We don't suck them down. I can totally say that. We do have pad cases, but that's only for about 12 pieces of foam. The rest we just kind of carry and buy single pieces of foam.
And about how many do you take on a trip?
To festivals where we play in mass pieces, we will have to take 2 groups worth, which is close to
30.
One group takes about 15 times 3? 45 feet. I can't math. So probably double that.
30 pads total.
Yep.
For 90 feet. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Math.
Yeah. All
right.
Double that.
Welcome to Two Talkers High. Math podcast. Not a
math podcast. A lot of math today. just for pads.
I know, really.
Really. So yeah, about 30 pads for 2 groups. And 12 of those will be in pad cases, and some do more math, and the rest will be just single pieces of pad.
You need more pad cases.
Yeah, we do need more pad cases.
Next fundraiser. I'm looking at the email that we had that had this request, and one of the questions that was brought up was regarding any oversized bags. And so I know, Jimmy, you've not had the experience of St. Matthew's flying yet. No. Do you know if you're going to hit oversize at all or overweight bags? No, you won't, because I'm kind of doing this not knowing how you're taking bells up there. So I just realized that.
Huh?
Okay, I'm going to back up.
Nick is pretending that he doesn't know how your bells are getting to Hartford yet.
Thank you.
No. Yes. Oh, this time, no, our bells are not flying to Hartford with us. We are Brian.
I was gonna say, so
Brian, this is more Brian's area.
So this year with National Seminar, since Landon and Potomac, Nick and I's schools are both performing one night, and then St. Matthew's Carol Ringers and Celebration Ringers are performing the next night, and we're all coming from the same area. We're all chipping in and renting one big box truck together. And so for this tour, we've got one box truck, and I think the box truck just got a little bit larger when GB asked if we could add some timpani to this.
Yes. Yes, there is one piece where both groups play, and it has timpani. And we would like to have the timpani because it sounds really nice.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, that's how this specific tour for you guys is happening. Yes. We're all kind of part of this.
So this actually worked, because one of the other questions she had was, when should you send the equipment in a vehicle, even if the players are flying? So like to address that, it really is it's a matter of distance, right? And whether or not you have someone who wants to drive an equipment truck for sure and is comfortable with that. So it really comes down to certainly cost. Like, is it more cost effective? I would say technically, if you're not paying for those oversized bags or extra bags, then you certainly could take the bells on the plane or have it packed there. But at the same time, it's out of your hands a lot. And maybe there's a safety risk or, you know, that side of things too. So I'm sure Sonos has had much more experience with this.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we tend to fly Southwest Airlines as well, because it's 2 free bags. Mm. And like Brian was saying earlier, basically as performers, we try very hard to go all of our personal stuff and carry on. So each of our 2 free bags is Sonos equipment. But that being said, like I was saying, that one suitcase that holds the 4 octaves of chimes is overweight. And again, unless we take out some chimes, can't change that. And we need those chimes, so that won't work. The 2 portable cases that have our lower 6th octave, those also are overweight. And one case has 2 bells, one has 3, can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Then it's hit and miss as to whether the golf cases get tagged as being oversized. Sometimes you get someone who It's like, oh yeah, just take it to the oversized thing, but they don't charge us. And the same thing with the ski cases. Although I think the couple times we traveled with those by plane, they did charge us the oversize on that. So yeah, it can get pretty expensive because with a minimum of three cases that are definitely overweight and then three or four that are oversized. And I think they're charging like $100 a case now.
Yeah, it's getting up there. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it can be, and both directions, you know, 500 to go out and 500 to come home. It can be pretty expensive. But again, we don't pay for the other baggage, which is why we fly Southwest.
Mm-hmm. So it really becomes a situation where like you need to go to a store, get one of those baggage weight devices.
Oh yes. Yeah. We have a scale, like our accessory suitcases, like with our table covers and the miscellaneous percussion, the books, all that kind of stuff. We weigh those and make sure that they're not going over and don't overpack them. So because we already have overweight that we can't do anything about.
It really comes down to budget then, right? Once you've done all that planning of everything you want or must take on that trip, you've got to weigh them out and then realize, okay, based on who we're flying with, here's what we need to plan budget-wise and get that in there.
Yeah.
Yes, GB, do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question for Tess.
Yeah.
Do you guys add extra padding at all to your cases, like, you know, bubble wrap or other stuff? Or is the padding sufficient?
There is in the suitcase that holds the four octaves of chimes, there are extra pieces of padded foam in between the chimes and around the edges and sides. Hmm. The hard sided golf cases, because they're very hard sided and they have a little bit of padding in them, they're fine. And then like I said, they're in like these little, they're the little sleeping bags, the cozies. They're slightly padded material. In fact, I think they're mostly made out of like mattress toppers.
Mm. Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like a quilted kind of fabric.
Yeah, it's like quilted kind of fabric. But when we traveled with those larger chimes and decided to use the ski cases, those ski cases are a little thinner than I would like. And so, yeah, we actually used the anti-slip rubbery stuff that we put under our foam. Mm-hmm. We actually added that in and around and at the bottom and the top of the ski case to add a little extra padding. And it's stuff we needed to take with us anyway.
Yeah, that's a good use, double use of item.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, it comes down to what you need to bring and how can you use that as additional backing materials and things like that.
Well, and in that case, you know, a lot of these travel cases have like the little niche, you know, like a little square that's cut out that you don't put the bell in, but, you know, you could put your tools or something like that. We've taken our CDs that we're going to sell and shipped them in the cases that way instead of taking a whole extra suitcase full of CDs. So one less case doesn't add any weight to those cases and we can get a good chunk in.
Okay.
I will say, because following up on the question of when should you transport by vehicle, even if the rest of the group is flying, but your equipment's got to go by vehicle. One of the things that I'm thinking of now is running into issues with lost baggage or delayed flights or things like that. And I know Sonos has a few stories that involve that.
Before I joined, there was a couple of instances where half of the bells didn't make it where they were supposed to. And I'm not entirely, I know, you know, they all talk about those stories like everybody knows what happened. But so I don't remember exactly what happened. The one experience I had was when Sonos went to Pinnacle in Nashville, our foam didn't show up. We had all of our bells. We had no foam. The two foam bags got misplaced.
I remember that.
So yeah. So we were just scrambling. I mean, I don't know what better place to have something like that happen.
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, we just got a bunch of foam from all the people around us and we were able to make that happen. The other thing, though, that also, again, it's like, you know, if this could happen at any moment, we flew from Houston to Long Beach at the end of one tour, and we had a C4 extra bell that didn't really fit anywhere. So we had packed it all nice and neat in with our table covers. Well, obviously didn't pack it well enough. We got to Long Beach and the clapper had broken off.
Wow.
At the bottom with the yoke, there must have been some pressure on the clapper sideways. But again, you know, we knew 5 billion people and it was our duplicate bell. It wasn't our main bell. But yeah, I called someone that we know in Long Beach and said, can you bring a C4 with you to the concert? Because yeah, we need to do that. And that the same, actually even better story was the B3 when we went to Japan had a similar thing. It was in the case, but it's still something caused the clapper to break. And we were in Japan and it was like, oh my gosh. And we were really lucky. We were in Tokyo because Arthur Shin is a Malmark rep, and mm-hmm. he had an extra B3 clapper assembly and brought it to us.
Nice.
Kind of amazing.
Who you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Who you know. Who you know.
When you travel with the Ultimate Bell cases, those standard cases that fit just the octave ranges, those fit under the 50-pound weight limit, correct?
Yeah. They have. I think one of the fifth octave cases gets really close to mm-hmm. being right on 50 pounds. And I suppose it depends on how well their scale is adjusted once you stick it up there. Sure. What the difference with between the Portabell cases and the Ultimate Bell case, we actually have one extra case and it comes down to that fifth octave. The way it's set up is into three cases, whereas Portabell does the lower fifth octave in two cases.
Right. And that was where I was leading with that was I remember Concordia Irvine had Portabell cases. I think they were one of the first mm-hmm. ones, if I remember right, they had Portabell cases. And that was one of the questions that I think came up when we were traveling to China that one year. I think mm-hmm. they're like, make sure the weight is correct. And I recall like one of the specific things was the selling point, I believe, for the Portabells was they are designed to be at the 50 pounds or less for each case to make things work. Because one of the questions from the email same was like, what are the cases that are out there? What makes them worthwhile? And if that's definitely a big one, you want them to have the right weight.
Well, I was thinking about the first time we went to Japan. I think the international, first time I went to Japan, the international weight range was 70. Mm. And then I think the second or third time it got lowered to 50. And that made a big difference with what we were doing. Just like my own personal suitcase. I had a larger suitcase that if I'd filled it up, I would have gone over the 50 pounds. I was kind of like, oh, great. I've got a bunch of space. Ended up buying a different suitcase. But when they start changing those numbers and those regulations and they get, then you have to figure out what you're doing with that.
Speaking of international travel and things, like I know as we're prepping for an international symposium in Japan, that the table sizes are different in Japan. So therefore the foam needs to be different. So what did Sonos do when they went on their tour to Japan in terms of foam?
We took our own foam. But the year that I first went, they had figured out that all of the different, the year before that, they figured out that all of the different concert halls all have these same sawhorse and wood pallet structure things. It's weird. Every concert hall across Japan has these same things. And they were able to make us tables out of these, because before that they were using tables that might've come up to everybody's knees. Mm. They were super, well, maybe knees is a little bit exaggeration,
Brian's
but
knees.
They were short.
Yeah, our knees.
They were really short. And so in trying to figure that out, so we used these sawhorse and pallets, which they were depth wise a little too much. So we, kept the foam closest to us. And then there was a little bit of a dip down at the front. Putting our foam, our covers on was a little tricky so that we had them to the floor and barely over the edge of the back, but that worked. And then the year that we took with us our setup routine that we did in Nashville at Pinnacle, where we come out banging on the tables and set them all up, we purchased tables and had them shipped over there and stored at the first concert hall and then took them with us on the bus from venue to venue and then left them with Kiriku. And then they were there when, And then we went back again a couple years later and they had our tables and we used them and now they still have them and we haven't been back. But so they have Bell tables, which is cool.
What about tables here? If you are traveling
domestically
and are taking a truck or something, do the Sonos, the St. Matthews bring their own tables too?
Well, Sonos, if we're doing a tour that enables us to drive and not fly, what we have done in the past is, yes, we do take our own tables. It just kind of makes it easier. We have those 6-foot fold in half Costco tables, mm-hmm. the big heavy duty plastic ones. And what we've done is, besides just having multiple cars, I have a big truck. I have a F-350. His name is Fred. And so we load Fred up with as much stuff as we can. And then also another ringer in the group, Cheryl Woldseth, and her husband have a truck and a trailer. It's like one of the bigger size of a U-Haul trailer that you could get. They've got it carpeted and has an extra level on it. They've used it for band stuff that they do, but we've used that for all the Sonos equipment as well. So you get a couple of trucks and carloads of people and we drive where we need to go. And we will take our tables in that case.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
I've gotten really good at shoving all the Sonos cases into that trailer.
Yeah. Yes.
We don't have a Fred. We actually don't have an official vehicle for our Bells. When we go on tour, we rent one of those big, huge coach buses. And so before how we packed our Bells with the buses, it was actually previous years, someone actually had mapped out how to pack the underneath the bus. The luggage. So it's actually not so bad once you figure it out and actually have it written down somewhere. And packing the bottom of the bus underneath the bus is actually a lot faster that way as well. And anything, if we have anything extra, typically we'll put it in the passenger side. Usually those are reserved for if we need space for pads, especially. At least that way they can just be squished in the seats. Mm-hmm. But we also keep our suitcases underneath the bus. So pretty much everything fits under that bus.
How early do you get those reservations? Like if you have a tour in June, by when are you making those calls?
Comfortably by December.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Is that typically the largest part of your budget?
Yes. Mm. Yes. These coach buses are quite expensive. So we try to do a lot of fundraising.
Mm-hmm. That's always hard for bell groups because if you have a choir group, you have more people to fundraise to cover that. But unfortunately with the bell choirs, typically not as large.
And again, our tour usually has, it's usually two groups, our tour youth groups. Yeah. Typically for tour, not in this case, but usually for tour when we're not going to a festival.
Specific event.
Yes, we're not going to a festival event. St. Matthew's takes their own tables and we have the old Schulmerich 3-foot tables that are really heavy.
The old school ones.
The old school ones. And we take about 15 of them. I guess most of the ringers prefer that than the typical, the 6-foot tables. But if a venue does offer us tables, we will take them. So we don't have to keep unloading up those tables.
I was going to say, the nice thing about those 3-foots versus the 6-foots that we use, you were talking earlier, GB, about weird configurations.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You can definitely get into those better with the 3-foot.
Yes, it's so nice when you can just like move that 3-foot, just like either turn it 90 degrees just to make it fit or like displace like a couple off to the side.
Although at home, when you're planning that out on your iPad, the stress level, certainly like, how do I get this there? What? And you're just toiling away at getting it just right.
I'm moving all the tables.
But it works every time.
it's like a piece. It's just like going this way. It'll fit this way. It'll work.
Those are the ones, too, that have the adjustable length legs, too, so you can go over steps and things.
Not
right?
The old school.
No, these are the really old.
Oh, yeah, I know
those. You have the really old ones. Yes, they are high.
Yeah.
They are high. They're definitely higher. And we have the 4-inch pads, so it's even taller.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Stop it. Stop.
Have you had to have any like of the younger 7th graders raised up on a stool or anything, a step?
No, no.
That's good.
So even our children's choirs, they still learn to ring from from this high table.
Chin height.
But they're really cute. But yes, we do bring our tables to the venues and actually all our concerts because that's what we're used to. We're actually used to that height. Especially the adults don't adjust as easily. Uh-huh. Usually the youth are just... Yep. The youth are just give us bells and tables and we'll play.
This is like, I know we're talking a lot about like touring and church, especially the one coming up this summer, but like St. Matthew's around Christmas is really active.
Yes.
Like your average, how many concerts typically amongst your different groups just in the month of December, would you say?
Between all the group, four to six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're spread out just over those like 3 weeks.
Yes.
Right? That's wild.
Yes.
Yep.
Between all of our groups.
So you're adapting to space quite a bit.
Yes. And then for our smaller concerts where we don't have to travel, we just rent a van to carry all our stuff.
Does Sonos have an active season, quote unquote, or?
That's a loaded question.
I knew it was.
That's a very loaded.
I'm trying to think about it from a historical perspective, maybe, but I don't know if there's a way to do that.
Well, up until about 2005, when I joined, they were met weekly for rehearsals. And I think they kind of had some basic seasons and did a lot of self-produced concerts. But by that point, they were doing more touring and things. And it just the schedules and all that kind of stuff turned into this more of a pickup thing that we do now. where it's like we have a gig and who can play the gig and backup and how many rehearsals do we need and let's do it. It's been a little rough. We are actually decided that even though we didn't have, we thought we might have a gig this fall and then it turned out we didn't. And although a lot of us had already committed to it, so we decided we were going to go ahead and do a self-produced season.
Oh, okay.
So we're planning local concerts. There still will be some travel involved because the, quote, the Bay Area local is, you know, several distances from one side to the next, 50 miles, 75 miles. So there's still some travel involved. That'll be the, you know, the trucks. But yeah, we just kind of are going to do it on our own. And because nobody wanted to hire us. So, oh, well.
Yeah, it's kind of like I wasn't so curious about the major activity. I was just there's like a heavy season during a year like Christmas or something that was common. But yeah,
no, not really. No. And I think like most community groups, again, a church group is different. Having Christmas be a big season for you is kind of cool. Most of us community groups would like to run away from that. You know, yes, it's wonderful to have bells at Christmas, but you can have them other times of the year, too.
True.
Yes.
Right.
And in fact, this fall season that we're doing, we're actually going to focus. We're not playing Christmas music and our concerts can be focused around the weekends around Thanksgiving and be just classical music.
Nice. You had just a bit ago shared a story of some poor travel experiences that took place. Has St. Matthew's had any, while you've been there, any stories of bad or unfortunate incidents?
Not I've experienced, but I've heard stories, but I can't recall what the stories are.
There's always the ones of people leaving things behind in places.
Yes.
That tends to happen quite a bit, especially with youth.
Yes.
Yeah. We've been there.
Yeah. As far as, and speaking of leaving things behind, as far as like managing the equipment and making sure that it actually gets from venue to venue, especially if you're doing a multi-location tour, does St. Matthew's or Sonos have any sort of checklist or system, or how do you keep track of all of your equipment and make sure that all of it that you came with, you are leaving with?
That would be me.
You are the checklist.
I am the checklist. No, we do have a checklist. We have a checklist of all our cases and what's listed in each every case. And we make sure that list gets checked off.
Yeah, same. I have a spreadsheet that also has like the assigned, like this case is being assigned to such and such a person on the plane. Mostly because that way, if it gets lost, I know which, you know, claim tag to look for. But yeah, because we've had some spouses travel with us too, and they just travel for the fun of traveling, but they also try to chip in. And we've had a couple of them who've been like, I'll take care of all that. And I let them. I'm like, you do that. And they each have kind of had their own little way of wanting to keep track of this and that. But basically, it's a countdown. Count how many cases you see and okay, we're good to go.
Yep. That's pretty much it too. The easy way where if we have this many cases, we had this many cases, we're good to go.
Does each kid get a job on the St. Matthew's tour?
Yes. Yeah. Each kid does get a job, whether it be emptying the bus, if we have a bus, setting up, taking down, those type of jobs.
I think I cut you off there, Tess. Sorry.
I was going to say, yeah, we all have jobs. I didn't realize you were saying kids. Even Sonosians get assigned. Jobs. We all have different, like some, there's people who are specifically in charge of making sure the chimes get set up correctly, the duplicate bells, set up the tables. We all have to stay out of the way of the table setters, let them set the tables first and dress the tables. And then we can all put the equipment out. And then we, you know, same thing, tear down. And we get our assignments as well.
And I was gonna say, that's from experience. That's really helpful. I know everybody likes to be hands-on and thinks that the more hands-on, the quicker it will go. Mm-hmm. But at some point, especially with how the handbell table setup process goes, there are some times when there are too many hands.
Yes.
And so the Sonos system of having one set of people set up the tables and be responsible for the tables and everybody else kind of stays out of the way. And then once those are up, then the foam people come in and foam people and do the covers and then everybody else goes. And so it's a efficient system that once you build it out and do it, I think works a lot better than just kind of everybody trying to do everything at once.
Especially when they're either specific setups or the venue that you're playing at has a different size and configuration than what you're used to. So you have to kind of set it up not the usual way. Yep.
That would be another role I take on as the equipment manager. I'm not actually assigned any job. They actually jokingly call me the case manager, but I'm like, especially when we're going to a bunch of different venues on a larger tour, I'm like the venue person. If someone in our group has a question about how something should work at the venue, it goes through me so that the venue people are only talking to one person. That saves some confusion. And then I'm also just available to help jump in and do whatever needs to be done. But particularly like you were talking about, GB, if you're in a place where the configuration for the tables is a little weird.
Yep.
Sometimes it's, you know, the table people can take charge of it, but having one person or, and Jim also jumps in there too. Cause of course, you know, he wants us to look at him when he's directing for some reason.
Yes.
yeah. And so, you know, how is this going to work? And so you get a little bit more there, but yeah, it's, it, you yes. just want to have people do specific jobs. It really makes it.
Yes.
I have a theory that every bell ensemble has one person who has that Tetris brain and can see, especially in like three-dimensional space. Do you each have that person in your respective locations?
Me.
I think we have several.
Which is true. That is so true.
Me.
I think, well, and that's, I was gonna say, you know, we all have our jobs, but quite often, especially middle of a tour, I have to remind everybody to not try to be so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
yes, yeah. I agree.
Sometimes
some
of us has 12 of those people.
Yeah. Well, we all have very good concept of how things should happen. And none of us want to sit around and do nothing.
Right.
It's very hard to, so just, we have to remind ourselves that, you know, when it's not your job, if you can't do your job until someone else does theirs, then take your break, take a moment, relax, sit, breathe. And then when they're done and you're working, they will sit and breathe. Everybody's going to have a chance to do that. So yeah, we're all pretty well spatially. There have been a few people that, and they just don't speak up when that time comes.
Jimmy, you kind of the reverse, right? You have kids who don't always jump on notice their time.
Oh yes. It's completely opposite with you.
Right.
Instead of all of them wanting to help, you definitely have some that want to help, but not all of them tend to step forward and say, me. Some just kind of stand on the sidelines and you just kind of notice them and you have to go, hey, you guys over there, come set up tables. They're ready now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Or some just need to be told what to do, pretty much.
Right. That's a good point.
It's not that they're not willing to help out. It's more of they like to be specifically told what they need to do.
I mean, that happens with adults too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this has been great going through the list of these prompts and questions in this email. They had one more it's a great question. And this may get different answers based on both your experiences. Is there ever like a situation when wherever you're traveling to or touring to that you end up using the equipment at the site rather than bringing your own?
Yeah. When Sonos went to Estonia and Finland, and because it was not a paid for tour like what we've done to Japan where they pay our way and everything. There was budgetary considerations. And one of those was the luggage and all of that we've talked about. And so one of the solutions that we came up with to try to give ourselves that extra wiggle room money-wise was to borrow the bells from a group in Finland. They play on Malmarks like we do. Yuka knew them. Yuka and Missy knew them. And so it was like, yep, that'll work. We'll use their bells. And I believe we used their bells and chimes. We did bring some bells, some duplicates, and we used their foam too, if I remember correctly. And it worked okay, but it was quite stressful because the adjustment of their bells was different than the way we adjust. And they were quite all right with just do what you need to with them. But, you know, that took time. Something wasn't ringing correctly. We had to take time to pull out the screwdrivers and make a few changes. And that eventually eats into some of your time. And besides just being tired from the travel and the event we were at and everything else, I think we would have been happier if we had taken our own instrument. That was kind of a lesson learned there.
Yeah. Has St. Matthew's ever had that experience?
Not that I know of. Mm-hmm. Again, I hear stories, but I don't remember all the stories. As for borrowing other bells, I have no idea.
Because the California trip, they used their own.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe
they used their own. Do you remember if that was a truck? You weren't working there at that time. I thought they...
I think you're right. I think they might have taken a truck.
They drove it out. Yeah.
Yes.
That's quite a haul from Virginia. My goodness.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, Tess, in those situations, it's like there's some true benefit to it, right? Like, especially for long distance travel, you're going to save money. You're going to save the stress of all the equipment. But at the same time, you really have to, one, kind of vet who you're borrowing from,
yeah.
But two, be prepared for adjustment for certain.
Right. Well, and you know, had we had even maybe one extra day to be able to just have them and rehearse with them and play with them, that might have made a difference, especially since they were more than willing to let us adjust them any way we wanted with, you know, the tensions on the springs and stuff. But there was the time crunch too, not knowing that it was going to be that big a deal. We didn't build in an extra day to do something like that. So again, if we were to do it again and thought that it would be worth borrowing someone's equipment, I'd say it would be worth also getting an extra day with space and rehearsal time so that you could do that.
I'd imagine it was just a different type of stress than if not bringing your own bells, working with someone else's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it certainly, especially with international travel, things like it's, Southwest doesn't go to Finland. So you're doing your free check bags.
No, we didn't get, and they don't go to Japan either. So yeah those were
if you keep flying Southwest, they'll get there eventually. Thank you both so much for being a part of this. This has been really enlightening to get a sense of what to do with getting bells out of our home space and kind of out there. And I'm sure we have a lot of listeners who have taken these steps and done this before. So you've provided some enlightening new ideas for them, but as well as maybe given some other folks some courage. Like, yeah, I think we can take care of this. I think biggest piece to all of it is it's a lot of planning, right? There's a lot of steps to take care of on the front end before making these trips. But at the same time, start small. Look at retirement centers, right? Look at maybe schools in your district are looking for groups to bring. But look something small and just kind of baby steps to get out there and eventually, like, all right, we know how to pack the bells. We know how to pack the truck or whatever we're doing. What's next? Can we go to a local festival? Can we go to our state, our area festival, right? Start to dream a little bit bigger each time. And as you've built up those plans and traditions, then bigger steps and go for it. So start making those plans, folks. We definitely want to give a shout out to Cheryl Gable. And if I say that wrong, I'm very sorry, but she's the one who sent us that email and gave us the topic. So thank you so much. And we hope we got everything you were looking for. And if not, email us back and we'll see what we can do to figure that out.
Yeah, it's especially good to talk about this topic. And I know we're doing our Road to International Symposium conversation. This is sort of an informal tie into that as people are getting ready to fly with some of their bells to Japan.
And again, we know the irony of the title. That's the point. We're driving to Japan. That's right. No.
Yeah, this is definitely an instance where you'd want to fly your bells, not.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't swim. No.
That underwater tunnel is, you know.
Are we there yet? No. Okay.
No, it's a long boat ride.
That's right. But yeah. So Tess, GB, thank you both so much for taking some time and joining us.
Thank
been a lot
you.
Of fun.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking.
Hope we've enlightened some people there or given some ideas.
Thank you again, GB and Tess, for joining us to give a little insight into how community ensemble like Sonos and how a church like St. Matthew's handle touring and traveling with all of their equipment.
I know we just gave thanks to Cheryl, but once more, a big thank you for sending us that email and for us to take that topic and run with it. Hopefully we did answer some questions you had and we're eager to check anything off the list that maybe we missed. So reach out to us. And how do you reach out to us? Whether it's to just send us a message or send us a request or anything else? Multiple ways. totacoshigh@gmail.com. We're also on social media, Facebook, Instagram, still on X for now, at totacoshigh. And of course, our website, totacoshigh.com. So all those are spelled out, no numbers, totacoshigh@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, and our website. Speaking of our website, we did get a few new additions to our events page, thanks to Area 12. So if you have not sent us anything about some upcoming events, please do so. We will get those added as fast as we can. But of course, if you haven't checked out that page yet, please do so. It's our events tab at the totacoshigh.com website. Send us events if you haven't. The form is right there. Just click the link, fill out the form, and we'll get it up.
And go ahead and check out the episodes tab. As Nick and I have mentioned before, we always put some supplementary images or materials of things up on that page. I will probably upload. I actually took a picture of Sonos in the Oakland airport when we were flying out to a tour 1 year of all of our baggage for all of our bell cases and luggage and everything all packed together. So you can kind of see what that actually looks like. And so we'll put that picture up there on our episodes page as well.
And GB's still with us. You think you got anything for St. Matthew's we could post up there of all your equipment?
I can post the diagram of how our bells fit under the bus.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. It'd be a great touch.
And I have like all, I have also a picture of all our bells, bell cases just lined up, ready to be put on the bus.
Perfect.
And please do continue to send us your requests or suggestions for episode topics. There's a few more that we have also received that we are working on working into upcoming episodes.
And we have a lot planned as we keep going on our road to symposium with special guests and interviews over the next couple of months. It's a very active time in Handbells, and Brian and I are excited to bring it all to you as best we can. So, of course, each time when we have those episodes uploaded, you can find us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you haven't yet on either of those platforms, if you could give us ratings, preferably a higher rating would be fantastic, or some comments would be really, really nice. And spread the word, just word of mouth, email, your own social media. Keep letting people know that there's a podcast out there. We get surprises on Facebook every now and then, like, wait, there's a handball podcast? How did I not know? And we want everyone to know. So spread that word. We have a good continued discussion and new folks listening in each episode.
Anytime somebody asks you about gloves, direct them to our episode.
Episode 11, I think, right?
Thank you, as always, to Jillian Perdas for designing our logo, to Mike Joy, the arranger of Yovana Yovanke, our intro outro music, and for Genevieve G.B. Hansen for managing everything for the behind the scenes for the podcast, and then joining us today in front of the microphone.
It was fun.
Yay. Glad you're here. You're real.
To get you on more.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We'll get you next time. I'm Nick Hansen.
And I'm Brian Seaman.
And this has been Two Tacos High, a Handbell podcast. Goodbye. You can join on the outro.
Yeah.
Thanks to GB Hansen.